Thank you for joining us today. For more information about our service times, visit okoegt.com. Also, stay in touch with us on social media by liking us on Facebook and following us on Instagram at okoegt. Now let's prepare our hearts as we go into the message.
Amen. It's good to be here. I recognize a lot of faces from the early service, and I've been looking around here, and my goodness, I see one or two I recognize here. Think about it. The Bible talks about not despising small beginnings. Think about it. Six people. Carl thought it was seven, but six. Six people. Some of you got more kids than that, you know? And so six people, and now here we are 25 years later, 700 to 1,000 people worship here any given Sunday. Isn't that wonderful? Give the Lord a clap offering of praise. I am Pastor Gary's older brother. Thursday we were unable to be here for the gala that was put on, and it was wonderful. I got to watch some of it online. But one of our dear friends, Terry Howell, no relation to us, although he thinks he's related to us, but he is not. He made a statement that he was the better looking of the Howells, and that's not true. That's a lie. He has a spirit of lie on him. We'll lay hands on him and we'll cast a demon out of him. Okay? You know, he is not better looking. We all know, Gary and I know who the better looking is. And it's neither of us. It is our brother Timothy. Our brother Tim. So there, Gary, I'm the oldest. Gary is the youngest. We have a brother Tim and a sister Lucy in the middle. Lucy's the meanest. From the day she was born till now, she's mean, boy, mean, mean, mean. And she'll watch this. She'll see this all good. And so, Lucy, I love you, but you're mean. You're mean. Nah, she's not mean. She really isn't. We love Lucy. I'm kidding, you know. I mean, really, you know, God has been good, hasn't he? I'll get a little emotional here. Our dad would be so, so proud. He would. As Jim said, his dad and our dad, hopefully the Lord's allowed them to see a little bit of this. You know, we don't understand all that kind of stuff, but, you know, whether they do or not. But I know they're rejoicing. If Daddy was here, he would be so proud, Gary. Our mother is 88 years old. She's wanted to be here, but she can't be here. She fell a little over a month ago, broke her hip. She was struggling with dementia prior to that, but since she broke the hip, the dementia has accelerated. So thank you so much for your continued prayer for our mother. When I told her I was coming, she says, I want to go. But unable to at this time in season of her life. But she loves you, and you know that. We always kid that Gary, being the baby, was the favorite. Yeah, it was true. You know, what can I say? What can I say? But 25 years, what a wonderful milestone. Wonderful milestone. On behalf of my brother Gary and his precious wife Christy, I just want to say to you today. There you go. All you old timers, let's do it. Come on.
If you don't know me by now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's good. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. But putting all the kidding aside, I just love the honor and respect shown here today.
R-E-S-P-C-T.
Oh, there it is, baby.
Well, that's what it means to me.
Uh-huh.
R-E-S-P-C-T.
Let's do it.
T-K-F-T-C-T. Oh, yeah. Respect.
Uh-huh. Oh, hey. That's good. Thank you. Most of you may know that I was on staff here from 2006 to 2009. We had a lot of fun when I was here, I'm telling you. Got to serve as executive pastor. Love those times. You know, it's great. But listen, congratulations. How many of you have ever needed a miracle in your life? Well, I know I've needed a miracle many times. I'm so glad that our God is still a miracle-working God. Still a miracle-working God. Our grandkids, mine and Lorelei's grandkids now are, you know, almost, most of them are pretty grown now. I know we don't look that old, but. And right after Thanksgiving, you know, I tell them, I say, all right, send us a list, what you want. So what they do, we used to get, you know, they'd call us now, you know, they'd send a link to Amazon, you know. Apparently everything can be bought on Amazon. Miracles cannot be bought on Amazon. They can't. We got to realize that if you need a miracle, there's only one place and one person to go to. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He's the only one in the miracle business, and it seems to be the exact situation. The lady in Matthew 15, that's our text today, Matthew 15, that she finds herself in. The lady in Matthew 15, she needs a miracle, and she knows that Jesus is the one who can help her daughter. The story we're going to read in a few moments in Matthew 15 is a story of perseverance, is a story of faith. Her story shows us that Jesus is for all, say all with me, all people. Say it again, all people who have faith. Her story is a story of hopeful persistence that reminds us three things. Don't give up. Trust the provision of God. And if you'll do that, if you'll hang in there and don't give up, and if you will trust the provision of God, you'll receive the blessing of abundance. That's the kind of God we serve. Here is what I want us to understand today. Even the table crumbs of Jesus are more than enough to satisfy the hunger and thirst of those who follow. Follow after him and those who believe. My friend, listen to me. If you have Jesus, I said, if you have Jesus, you have more than enough. You have the miraculous provision of heaven. So let's read it. Matthew 15, we'll begin with verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out and said, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying after us. And then Jesus said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. But the woman came and knelt before him and said, Lord, help me. And he replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she says. For even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Isn't that wonderful? Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted, and her daughter was healed at that very moment. So here's the very first point of this message today, right here. I already shared it with you. Don't you give up. Don't give up. That message is for someone here today. You've been doing this. You've been trying that. You've been praying. You've been trying to believe and trust God. Listen, don't you stop. I said, don't you stop. Don't give up. The main character in this passage is a Canaanite woman considered to be a foreigner and an outsider to the Israelites. She approaches Jesus, a Jewish teacher, with a boldness that is born out of desperation and faith. Anybody besides me ever been desperate? I said, anybody besides me ever been desperate? Sometimes, friend, that's what you got to have. You got to be desperate. Listen to me, you got to go after. You got to be hungry and thirsty. She believes that Jesus can heal her daughter, and that belief drives her to break society's norms and approach Jesus despite the potential of rejection. You see, her hope for a miracle supersedes everything and everyone else.
Even when Jesus initially ignores her, but she doesn't give up. Even when Jesus initially ignores her and just like she's no one, she stays and she continues to plead with him, showing us that faith is not a one-time act, but a continuous journey. Did you hear that? She said, faith is not a one-time act. It is a continuous journey. It's about holding on. Holding on, even when the situation may seem hopeless. What if Pastor Gary and Christy and their family and this congregation, especially those who have been here for the majority of the past 25 years, what if they had given up when the situation seemed difficult and hopeless? And I know that there were many, many times, as his older brother, he and I would talk on the phone many, many times prior to me coming here on staff, and even after that, that there were times when it seemed impossible. What if they had just threw their hands up in dismay and threw the towel in? I'm here to declare to you that quitting or giving up or throwing the towel in should never be in a Christian's vocabulary. It should never be, never be. No, sir, it's about trusting in God's timing, even when it doesn't align with our own timing. You got to hold the fort. You got to stay the course. This woman's faith was not detoured by silence. She knew who Jesus was and what he was capable of doing. And because of that, she held on with great tenacity. Let me just ask you today, do you really, really know who Jesus is? My friend, listen to me. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is everything that you and I will ever need. He's all I need. He's all I need. The Canaanite woman even overcame what can only be described as a derogatory statement or comment. Jesus compared her, a Gentile, to a dog. How you like that? But she doesn't seem to take offense. Instead, she uses the same metaphor to express her faith, making a profound, profound statement that even dogs, oh my goodness, I'm about to get happy. Even dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. You see, I believe that faith often requires a little bit of humility. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the ability to see ourselves as we truly are. It's about recognizing our need for God and for his grace and letting pride get in the way of our relationship with him, not getting offended. My goodness, today everybody's offended by everything. Not getting offended and feeling sorry for ourselves when we don't get the answer that we want. I mean, before it's all over, because this woman held in there because she wouldn't give up. She came to Jesus in faith. Jesus said, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And her daughter, the Bible says, was healed at that very moment. That very moment. You see, faith really has the power to move mountains and bring about miracles. I'm still believing miracles. How about you? Our God is still in the miracle working, miracle performing business. You see, faith really has the power. Really has the power to move mountains and bring about miracles. And it's not about the size of our faith, but the size of our God in whom we place our faith. And when we place our faith in Jesus, when we place our faith in the Son of God, the healer, the provider, the way maker, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the miracle worker, El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. There is no limit to what can be done or what can be achieved. The Apostle Paul put it this way, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Oh, listen to me, friend. You can't stop now. Oh, there's been temptation over the last 25 years to stop. But there weren't any, no such thing. You can't stop. There's no stopping now. Don't give up. Secondly, I want you to see the provision of God. Say that with me. The provision of God. Say it stronger. The provision of God. He's our provider. The provision of God, my friend, if you read the Bible, God's Word, you will see that the provision of God is a reality that is woven all throughout Scripture. It is a theme that is as old as the Garden of Eden and as new as the revelation given to John. And in this particular passage from Matthew chapter 15, we see Jesus providing in a way that is both unexpected and profound. I'm so glad that God, our God, provides in unexpected, profound ways. It doesn't matter to me how, Carl. It just matters to me that He does it. Hallelujah. And I trust Him. But it's shocking that Jesus uses is an outsider. Say outsider with me. Outsider. Say it again. Outsider as such a great example of faith to His disciples and others that were following Him. As I've already mentioned, this one was a Canaanite, an alien, a foreigner to the Jews. It's very important in this cultural context to remember that Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of Israel, and His primary mission was to the Jewish people. Yet somehow, and for some reason, the woman's faith and persistence moved Jesus to act. Sort of reminds me of the story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 18. There was a certain town, there was a judge who was neither feared, who feared God, nor did he care about the people. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, saying, "Grant justice to me against my adversary." For some time, the Bible says that the judge refused. And finally, he says to himself, "Even though I don't fear God, I really don't care about people and what they think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me," one translation says. I like that. Scared of a little bitty widow. Hallelujah. Oh, that's got some tenacity, some get up and go. Some said, "I'm not going to quit." Well, did you hear me? I'll talk to this crowd here in a minute. Well, listen, you can't stop now. Listen to me, friend. You got to be like this widow. And then Jesus says, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? No, I tell you, He will see that they get justice and that they get it quickly." In other words, don't you stop. Don't you quit. You hang in there and you keep believing. I'm here to remind somebody here today that you've got what it takes. You got what it takes. You're not a quitter. Sir, you're not a quitter. Listen to me, sir. Don't you quit on your family. Listen to me. Listen to me, ma'am. You're not a quitter. Don't you quit on your children. Come on now, grandparents. Don't you quit on your grandchildren. We don't quit. We hang in there. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me, friend. The Bible says, "Greater is He that's within me than he that's within the world." It doesn't matter what your background was, is, or was. It doesn't matter how bad you messed up in your past. We serve a gracious, compassionate, loving, and forgiving God. Hallelujah. Well, will you give God a clap over the praise like He really deserves? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me. I believe that in the story here in Matthew 15 that we see a clear demonstration of Jesus' miraculous provision, not just for the Jews, the house of Israel, but for all, but for all who will have faith in Him. Aren't you glad that He's no respecter of persons? Aren't you glad that no matter who we are, what we are, where we came from, what our cultural background is, what nationality we are, what race we are, it doesn't matter because God loves us all. Hallelujah. Jesus is for us all. I'm just here to declare to everyone here today that Jesus' provision is not limited by our human boundaries. His provision is not confined to a particular group of people, a specific time, or a certain place. The provision made by Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Oh my goodness. I said the provision made by Jesus Christ. Listen to me, friends. Is worldwide, reaching out to all who call on His name in faith and recognize Him to be Lord. Charles Spurgeon said, and I quote, "The secret of a blessed life Hear it, friend. The secret of a happy death, the secret of a glorified eternity, all lie in this: knowing Christ Jesus as our Lord. There it is. And what we must realize is that Jesus' ultimate provision, we see it in Matthew 15, is not just physical, nor is it temporal, but it's spiritual and it's eternal. It's found in knowing Christ and having a relationship with Him and entrusting Him to provide for our needs. The mother in this story in Matthew 15 needed a miracle for her daughter, and she knew that Jesus could provide it. He could, and He did deliver the one thing that she most desperately needed. But I'm here to remind all of us that Jesus did not ignore. He didn't ignore her cry. It seemed like He did in the very beginning. But no, she kept coming. Oh, and He did not ignore her. And He doesn't ignore your cry either. I know you've been crying in the wee hours of the morning. I know you've been staying up all night, believing God for your children, for your lost loved ones, and for this perhaps physical ailment in your body and all the different things that you're strung with, financial difficulties, but I'm here to let you know that God hears you and that God loves you. Psalm 34 says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Psalm 145:19 says He fulfills the desire of those who fear Him. He also hears their cry and saves them. Isaiah 65, oh, I love it, where it says, before they call, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. Will you give God a praise for that today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He knows you. He cares for you. Don't you give up. He's your provider. Psalm 121, verse 8 says, the Lord will watch over your coming and you're going, both now and forever. We can testify to that, can't we, Gary? Yeah. Carl, we can testify to that. The Howell family, the Stevens family, connected way, 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 way back. We can testify. That scripture there in Psalm 121, verse 8, it just simply means that His provision and promise lasts forever. It lasts forever. The Canaanite woman came to Jesus and was hoping for her daughter's healing, but she received so much more. Yes, the daughter was healed and delivered, but she received so much more. Oh, how many times have I come to Jesus with this particular need in my life? And yeah, He heard and He helped and He ministered that message, but He, knowing me, He looked a little deeper and He saw what I really needed. It's the same way with you. Oh, I know you think that what you're really concerned about, what you're crying out to God, and I'm not saying it's not important. I'm sure that it is, and He cares about that. But can I tell you, He sees beyond all of that. Oh, yeah, He'll help you with that situation and that incident in your life. But I'm telling you, He being God, because He got your name written right here in the very palm of His hand, because He loves you, He knows your coming and your goings. That's what He says, forevermore. Oh, yeah, Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. That means that He'll never leave us, never forsake us. So, friend, He's able to look beyond what we think we need and give us exactly what we do need. Hallelujah. The Canaanite woman, she received affirmation of her faith, a personal encounter with the Messiah. Here's what I really like about this story. This example shows us that Jesus was and is open to the faith of what we call outsiders. Can I tell you that in the kingdom of God, there are no outsiders? Oh, my goodness. Did you hear what I just said? There are no outsiders. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, red, yellow, black, and white. Hallelujah. All precious in His sight. Listen to me, friend. Everyone is included. This story in Matthew 15 is such an important one because it highlights the prophecy from Isaiah 42, verse 6, which says, I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. You see, Jesus shone a light into a darkness of this world, and He encourages us to let our light shine to others so they may see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. He blesses us abundantly. Why? So that we can be an abundant blessing to others. He shines a light into our life. Why? So that we can shine a light to others. Think about it this way. We are all recipients of God's abundant blessings every day. We experience His love, His grace, His provision, even in the times of hardship, even in times of struggle. We can see His hand at work in our lives, providing for our needs and sustaining us with His love. And that blessing of abundance comes from having faith in God, and He expects us to share it with the others. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. The missions giving, all the different things that are happening here at Glad Tidings, over $8 million given in 1 year, $1 million. What a testimony. Listen to me, friends. Listen to me. He blesses us so we can bless others. I'll say it again. If you got Jesus... If you got Jesus, you got more than enough. You got more than enough. You have the miraculous provision of heaven. Hallelujah. In closing, let me share this. Corey Ten Boom. She said, faith is like a radar that sees through the fog. Oh, my goodness. Faith is like a radar that sees through the fog. Somebody here today, if not several, is a little foggy where you're at right now. It's hard to see. But can I tell you, we don't live by what we see. Paul says the just lives how? By faith. That's how we live. We live by faith. On this 25th anniversary of Pastor Gary and Christy of serving here as pastor at Glad Tidings, I'm just so glad they invited me to come, Lorley and I. Just simply want to share with you, He's more than enough. He was more than enough 25 years ago. He's more than enough now. In your life personally, going through some stuff? Yeah. Seems a little cloudy, a little foggy where you're at. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. I mean, where do we go? Where do we go when we're lost? Where do we turn when we feel that like there's no answer or no remedy to our problems? Where do we go? What do we do when, like the mother in our passage, we need a miracle? I need some miracles right now in my own life personally. And I sense in my spirit, there's several here in this service, you need a miracle too. What we learn from this story is, and what we see modeled is, an unwavering faith. Yeah. A Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who said, I know my God can deliver me, but if not,
But if not, I'm still going to serve him. Yeah. Oh, I trust him. Oh, I believe him. I'm expecting. I'm placing all my faith. What little bit I may have, I'm going to put it all in him. But if not, I'm still going to serve him. I'm still going to trust him. You need a miracle? Seems a little foggy where you're at. This woman had unwavering faith and unwavering trust, even down to the moment when this mother calls Jesus Lord, which means my master, more than my Savior, my Lord. She knew enough, even as a Canaanite woman, that he was the one that she needed at that very moment. And it's the same with you. It's the same with me. Sir, ma'am, it's the same for you. Right now, in this very moment, he's all I need. And he's all you need. He's all you need. So let me ask you. What do you have need of today that the Master, the Lord, can help you with? What problem do you need to take to the feet of Jesus? What miracle are you believing for, trusting for, placing your faith in? Whatever it is, I'm sure that even the crumbs that fall from the Master's table are more than enough.